Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A portion of God's word for our consideration this morning is found in Philippians chapter 4. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Why couldn't God have just made it easy? Why did he have to make it so hard? Have you ever had that thought before? Perhaps it was a relationship that you were trying to take care of, you're working on, but struggling to maintain. Maybe you felt that way when you were trying to go back to school while at the same time raise your family and still hold down that full-time job. Maybe it was that conversation that you were having with your neighbor where the opportunity to share Jesus just never seemed to be right. Whatever the case, I think we all have been there a time or two. And the same is true when it comes to joyful generosity. Last week, Pastor Schlick talked about how being joyfully generous means putting God first. It means giving a percentage of our income. But Pastor Schlick was very careful not to tell you how much to give. In fact, he went out of his way to make sure that you don't think that we are doing that. But you know, in some cases, that might be easier. The Old Testament people knew exactly what God expected of them. There was never any question of what they were supposed to give. God made it abundantly clear. So why doesn't God do that for us in the New Testament? Why does he put the choice in our hands? Because it can be very difficult to decide how much to give when I've got my family to think about and I've got taxes to pay and I've got all those other responsibilities that come with being an adult. Why didn't God just make it easy and demand 10% like he did from the Old Testament people? It's because we're free. We are free in Christ, and so we have been given the privilege of wrestling with this freedom. When we wrestle in our hearts and we count our blessings and we have to think about this and pray about this, then it's more than just money that God is getting. And he's getting the deepest desires of our hearts, a true reflection of God's grace in our lives. He's getting joyful generosity. And today, as we wrap up this series, we want to see the importance and the blessing that comes from our giving when our giving is regular and when it's intentional. One of the reasons that Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians was to say thank you. The Philippians had been overwhelmingly supportive of Paul's missionary journeys, and maybe not in the way that you might expect. You see, the Philippians didn't give Paul the most money. In fact, the Philippian congregation was quite monetarily poor. But it was the way that they gave, it was the attitude with which they gave, and it was intentionally how they gave. Paul talks about the Philippians and their giving when he's writing to the Corinthians in his second letter. He says, in a severe test of trouble, their overflowing joy and their deep poverty overflowed into an abundance of their generosity. I testify that of their own free will, they gave according to their ability and even beyond their ability, pleading with us with an urgent request for the gracious privilege of joining in this service to the saints. And they did this not as we had expected, but in keeping with God's will, they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us. And this wasn't just a one-time thing for the Philippians. What did we hear in our lesson today? You sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Now, why would Paul take this example of the Philippians and share it with the Corinthians? It seems that the Corinthians had good intentions, but they had a hard time being intentional. They wanted to do something. They were eager to do something, but they never seemed to get around to actually doing it. Paul had even given them a plan to follow that we heard about last week, but it seems that they struggled to carry it out. Aren't we guilty sometimes of that too in our sinful nature? Whether it comes to setting aside a time for Bible reading or for praying or to exercise or to eat right. If you aren't intentional about those things, you know that those things aren't going to happen. And then all you're left with is good intentions. How many New Year's resolutions are now sitting on the good intentions pile? We struggle, even with a good plan, to have the discipline to carry it out. Why? Because we're fighting against a sinful nature that doesn't want us to have anything to do with God or His Word. And we're fighting against the devil, who will do whatever he can to distract us from our goals. And the same is true when it comes to joyful generosity. Do you have a plan? Does that plan include not only how much you give, but how often? And when? Does that plan take into account the times that you're not going to be able to make it to worship? Remember, you're fighting against your sinful nature all the time, and the devil, who does not want you to give to the Lord and His work. The devil does not want Eastside to have the resources to carry out this gospel ministry that He's given us. He'd much rather have us cut corners or scale back than expand gospel ministry. And He will always be tempting us to spend more on ourselves so that when the opportunity arises to give to the Lord, there won't be anything left. And yet we can be thankful that we have a God who does not treat us as our sins deserve. Where we have been stingy, God has been generous. Where we have been inconsistent, God has been regular and faithful. Even behind the clouds and the wind and the snow, the sun still rose this morning. And with it, God's mercies are new every single day. It's just like we confess in the explanation to the third article. In this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers. Isn't that what keeps us going? Isn't that what allows us to sleep at night? The knowledge that God's mercies are new every morning, that each and every day He forgives our sins. God's forgiveness is both regular and intentional. It's why we can trust in Him and not be afraid. And so when we follow the example of the Philippians and we give as they gave, we are reflecting God's grace in our lives, His faithful grace, His consistent grace. And then in turn, we become a blessing to His church. Paul said, "It was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need." Think of the impact that regular, intentional giving had on Paul and his ministry. Paul was able to share the gospel with more and more people instead of having to worry about providing for himself. Eastside is blessed when we support the ministry of this congregation with regular and intentional gifts. And just as Paul thanked the Philippians for their regular support of his ministry, I want to take the time this morning to thank each and every one of you. Not only are you a blessing to this church or the church where you belong, but your regular and intentional giving is a blessing to you as well. Paul writes, "Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God." Maybe this section just sounds a little bit odd, because we've spent a lot of time over the last 3 weeks talking about how our giving is something that comes from the heart. It's a response to God's grace in our lives. It's given out of thanks, and Paul says he wants to credit it to our account. But what is he talking about here? Well, maybe we can think about it this way. When you buy presents for your grandkids or maybe your nieces and nephews, you can probably expect that they're going to send you some sort of thank you note, right? Maybe it's a picture that they drew themselves, or maybe a note that they scrawled in their own handwriting with a few spelling mistakes here and there. And when you get those cards, even with the spelling mistakes and even with the inferior artwork, you don't care about any of that. No, you can see the heartfelt expression of thanks that is written or drawn in that card. And you might even put it up on the refrigerator so that when they come to visit you, they can see it. And they can see how you appreciate it. They can see that you received their thanks with joy. The point is that God notices our regular and intentional heartfelt gifts. They do not contribute one iota to our salvation. In no way do they help to save ourselves, but they do bring joy and pleasure to our God. Paul calls them a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice. And so when we give this way, we are blessed. It's why we can say that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And yet there's still another way that we are blessed by regular gifts. Paul writes, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Why would Paul say my God here instead of our God like he does in the verse below? Paul's trying to make a point here. He's trying to emphasize and provide extra assurance that what he is saying here is actually true because he's already experienced it in his own life. Paul has already seen firsthand how God supplies for all of his needs. It's what allowed him to write in the verse right before our lesson this morning, probably the most famous verse in Philippians 4, that Paul could be content in every circumstance because of God's provision for him, why he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. And we hear a similar promise in our first lesson this morning. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. The children of Israel were trying to cut corners. They were trying to bring God the leftovers, the things that they didn't want, the diseased and crippled animals, skimping on the tithe. And God challenges them. He says, bring the whole tithe. Put me first. Be regular and intentional about what you give. And what does he promise? Blessings overflowing. Friends, that same promise is true for us as well. I'm sure that you can think of examples in your life where you just didn't know how you were going to make it, and the Lord provided. Eastside has been here for more than 90 years. And by God's grace, we will continue to be blessed and continue to prosper. May God give all of us the spirit of joyful generosity, that all of our needs will be met as we regularly and intentionally give to his glory. We have that promise. And I pray that through that joyful generosity, you will be a blessing to your church, that you will see God's blessings in your life as well. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.